Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in there. The drive, I'm going to take you home today. Gentlemen, I'll ask you what we kicked around a little bit earlier. Bigger rivalry tonight, Avs, Blues, Nuggets, Timberwolves.
Nuggets, Timberwolves.
You do think so?
I do, because I think it's a little bit more longstanding than this iteration of Avs, Blues. You go back to 2017, it's Nuggets, T-Wolves, Game 82, winner goes to the playoffs. And at the time, I remember saying, man, this is, I think, is a big game, not to because the Nuggets weren't going to do anything in the playoffs, but I, knowing the history of the NBA and saying there's value in getting swept. I remember saying that, repeatedly. I said there's value in getting swept, you know, and I remember Shaq and Kobe getting swept by the Jazz and when they're at the end of their run. And there was value in that. The scars, they build up. And I don't think the Blues and... help me if I'm wrong on this. I don't think the Blues and Avs go back to 2017, but you can actually go and this iterations. Like, Cat was there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And Jokic was here and Jamal was here. So there's still like remnant of that beef from 2017.
Yeah, the way I described it was Minnesota and Denver, the Nuggets Timberwolves, is by far a bigger game.
Yeah.
By far a bigger game.
Yeah.
I think the rivalry itself, Avs Blues, we go back to 01. Like, there's a lot of history there. However, to your point, that Blues team is, they're rebuilding. It is not the team that you just played in the playoffs a couple of years ago and a couple of years before that. So I tend to agree with you. Much bigger game. I absolutely despise the St. Louis Blues, as you well know. So, and they still have somebody that I can't stand either.
I think that's the biggest part of it. Is Jordan Bennington still on the team?
Yeah.
And the whole market has sports hate for that.
Yeah. And now, if you want to go back to like before these cores and go back,
agreed.
But here's the big thing. The guy who is building the Timberwolves built the Nuggets.
Right.
Like the. Like,
Appreciate that, Tim.
Like, very rarely in the NBA does a team president leave an organization for another, a lateral move on their way to a title.
You're when they're peaking.
That was so unusual. And my brain is turned on. It's got to be money. Why would you leave this situation? The Kroenkes weren't going to pay him what the Timberwolves offered him.
Money and power.
Yep. He looked like a joke to the rest of the league. This time last year after the Rudy Gobert trade, because they traded four unprotected first-round picks. It's like, how stupid could you be? But now when this team is fully comprised and healthy, it's like, oh.
Well, let's see what they can do.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm not fully sold yet that he made the right move.
And they're both tied in the standings, right? I mean, it's unequivocally a bigger game.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're judging it by, like, right move, who's going to win a championship, it's doubtful the Timberwolves go and win a championship. But they gave him that rare combination. It wasn't just money. They gave him a piece of the organization, which is just incredibly rare, just in general.
You can't say no to that.
Yeah, right.
In any sport, will we ever have a rivalry like the Avalanche and the Red Wings? Mm-hmm. I've been starting to watch that documentary.
Oh, that's awesome.
Matt, will we ever have something like that here in Colorado with any kind of rivalry from the basketball to football back to hockey?
They don't really let sports get out of hand like that anymore.
No.
You know,
no.
The true hate, the true violence, we've kind of taken that out of the game. It would have to be something organic that comes up. Kind of like that, when Footer got tagged against the boards.
Right.
He's leaking all over the ice, and that's what happened there. But hockey's not violent like that anymore. I don't think we'll see rivalries like that anymore, especially, where would you see them, in college?
Well, I was going to say, just in pro sports, it's changed. We don't see the same rivalries. No. I mean, shoot, we got coaches for the Broncos who don't want to go on record and say the Raiders, like, are a rival. Like,
I can still work for them.
Yeah, I could one day work. But it actually speaks to the nature of pro sports. And what is maybe the biggest difference about pro sports now than 25 years ago is the transient nature of the players.
Mm-hmm.
They're just more on the move, especially in basketball and the NFL. So across the board. So I think because of that, it's not, you don't have these cores that are together for 4 or 5 years that they remember stuff that happened 3 years ago and they're waiting for that get back. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think it's, you know, pro sports have changed and I don't think for the better in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time that there was a brawl on the football field, it was Tlaib with the Raiders, right?
Oh, with Michael Crabtree.
Oh, organic. You know, yeah, I'm with you guys.
But even that ended with just those two guys, right? It wasn't like all of a sudden here's a reigniting of the Broncos-Raiders rivalry.
Right.
But see, they try to embed it in us. When I was with Denver, I remember sitting there and us watching highlights before the game, the night before the game, about why it's important to beat the Raiders. Mm-hmm. So they try, but it just doesn't feel like it did back in the day. There's just nothing there. There's nothing that's just saying, like, I hate this guy.
There was. Like,
I truly want to go out there and hit him hard.
LSU, South Carolina. Last weekend, right? The girls?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were
basketball.
Good.
Yeah, they were. They were going at it.
No, like, real punches, but.
Yeah.
A shove down to the ground.
I mean, when's the last time we saw a true brawl? Like a real brawl.
Pro
level, like a real brawl where, you know, we've seen guys throw punches. I'm thinking of, who is that, Batista, remember from the Blue Jays? Or Rougned Odor.
Oh, second base. Yeah.
So we've seen guys get hit, but, like, multiple willing, three or more guys throwing punches.
Doesn't really happen. No, they don't let it get there. Hey, before we get out of here, we got to ask. What was your reaction, Mr. Zach Bye, to 3 years, up to $58 million with $41 guaranteed for one Jerry Jeudy?
You know, I was listening to part of the conversation coming in, and I thought you did a good job of kind of laying out Jeudy's Denver experience, where if you just look at the numbers, it actually kind of reminds me of Russ. If you just look at the numbers, it can kind of...
tells a different story.
Yeah, repackages what actually happened. Because if you're watching on a down-to-down basis, you knew the Broncos offense was terrible and Russ was not close to what we thought we were getting here. Jeudy, kind of similar. You look at the numbers, like you see like a 974-yard season. I think it was the tops here in Denver.
Six touchdowns.
But if you actually watch the games, his impact, he's not a great football player. He's not a great football player. He's just not. Now, he can run routes, and every 3 weeks he's going to make a play. But I remember my college basketball coach, Brian Beery, New York State Hall of Famer. He'd say, like, and he'd make a inappropriate for nowadays, like, he'd basically say, like, what would you rather have? A 10 who comes home with you once or twice a month, or a 7 who's there for you every single night. Mm. And I know that's maybe, you know, a little passe, but Jeudy is the once a month guy.
Yeah.
He's once a month, and he'll tickle that fantasy of his potential and his ceiling and all this stuff. And it's like, but if you actually watch the games, he'll drive you mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, RG3 about Russ, like, well, you know, I watched every play and he's still awesome. It's like, did you really though? Mm. Did you have to sit through the 30 seconds in between plays when you were let down a tie? And Jeudy's the same way. He just drives me nuts. And I think by the end of that contract, the people in Cleveland will despise Jerry Jeudy. That's my prediction for it.
They're going to give between Deshaun Watson and Jerry Jeudy $291 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Unreal.
Matt, I don't get it, man.
No, are you jealous or you don't get it?
Nah.
A little bit of both.
I mean, he's a receiver, you know.
You can't hate on a guy for getting his money. Nothing wrong with Jeudy.
Actually, you can.
The biggest part is...
You're bitter.
It just shows that, like, you could be a first-round draft pick and pretty much be guaranteed that you're going to have unlimited opportunities and get paid when you finally do something good, if you ever do that. Because it always seems like when you're a first-round draft pick, money always flows to you. You know, the opportunities always flow to you because they're always trying to figure out why you were that first-round draft pick. No matter how good or how bad you do, they're going to give you that opportunity.
Does that ever leave you?
I don't think so. I mean, look.
You'd really have to flame out, which Jeudy hasn't totally flamed out.
No.
He still tickles that the fantasy potential. Of the upside.
But give it like Melvin Gordon. He finds a way to always find a way on the team. He hasn't done well in multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee this year he'll be on another team somewhere.
You think so? I think it's out. I think
you
he's
think
out.
So?
I think finally.
He'll have a podcast by September.
Yes.
For sure.
I could tell
Melly Mel's corner. Yes.
Melly
yes.
Mel.
Yeah.
True stories.
You should start it with him.
Jeudy, and if you're Cleveland, there's enough dysfunctional in Denver where you could talk yourself into, yeah, you know, I know she's been that way with these other guys, but like it could be different with
me. They're blaming Denver. That's what the Browns look like they're doing. They're blaming Denver. They're blaming Russ.
It's actually a state
Pittsburgh just did it with Russ.
It's a harsh reality of a state
Calm
of the Broncos.
Calm down now, Matt.
But the Browns are saying, they don't know what they're doing in Denver. We'll fix them over here.
But you could just let him ride out the fifth-year option.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. If he's playing that great, you can go to him during the season and figure something out, but it's trying to beat something to the punch that may not be coming. Why not just see what comes and then react to what comes?
Put some pressure on the guy to go prove it first. I don't understand. There's no, and this is what I said, there's no justification that you could give me for giving him that contract that I think would make sense and make me go, oh, you know what? I didn't think of it that way.
No. Welcome to the NFL, boys. Welcome to the NFL.
Well, it's one of these things that typically, if you've kind of been a headache and you've been a little bit of a, you know, butthead.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to get paid.
Well, what I'm saying is typically that behavior doesn't get better when you get the bag.
Right.
Antonio Brown was on his best behavior for 4 years. And then a lot of these times, like, and Judy has enough stuff to point to off the field and on the field, but that's not really on the field, like ranting on the sideline and throwing off your helmet and bumping a ref and, you know, whatever. But in addition to some of the knucklehead cryptic tweets and getting arrested and the stuff, I just wonder from a maturity standpoint if he loses his way even more, or not loses his way, but feels even more emboldened to, I'm going to do me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's comfortable.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's two things from that. There's two things. You get paid a lot of money, you get comfortable. Or you get paid a lot of money, and now you're sitting here saying, I got to go produce because I don't want to be considered that bus. They gave me all this money to go out there and show that I am worth every single penny. Now, I don't know how Jerry's going to be. You know, but I know that that's somebody's mindset out there. It's like you get this money and you're happy, but also you're nervous now because everybody's looking at you to go out there.
And
do
it.
The first time that you give up a big play, they're looking at you like, we paid this man all that money.
Oh, yeah.
Like Russell Wilson situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We paid you all this money to do that?
Yes. And you are looked at as a pro athlete through the lens of your draft status and finances. Yeah. Yep. That's just the way it is. So pack a lunch. You know, this is going to be that Judy experience in Cleveland is going to be interesting.
Real quick, what kind of wide receiver would ever put his hands on a ref? You know?
I thought about it. I'm a running back. When I go to jail or when I just get fined.
One is worth it.
I want to tell you guys, in 48 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Tad Boyle is coming on the show.
Nice.
All right. Tad Boyle is coming on the show. That is at 3:00 sharp. You're not going to want to miss that as they tip off tomorrow night. We got CSU. We're going to talk to a CSU correspondent, tell you what you need to know before tip off. But in the meantime, Bud Black's extension talks got us thinking, what is the current hierarchy among coaches here in Denver sports? That's where we'll start. Coming up next,
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Zach By and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Tuesday to ya in a beautiful day in the Centennial State.
And the first day of spring.
It is the first day of spring. I just learned that like 20 minutes ago. First day of spring.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited, man.
Awesome, man.
Days, the light staying out longer. I love that. Yesterday I was like, man, it's like it feels like it's 3:00 and it's really like 6:00.
Yeah. Dude, so I came home and my 5-year-old's like, Daddy, like you're home early. He thought I was home early because he's used to me getting home when it's dark. And he's like, you're home early. I'm like, yeah, sure. Daddy's home early.
You want to think so, yeah.
Yeah, daddy's home early. How you doing, man? You good, man?
I'm good. I'm ready to get it rolling. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. We got Tad Boyle at 3:00.
Let's go.
24 hours or so before they tip off in the NCAA tournament. We got CSU tonight. Got a huge Nuggets game tonight. Got an Avs game tonight where they can go perfect on a road trip. Win a season-long 7 in a row. I mean, we got a lot to react to. But, you know, behind the scenes, we started kicking around this idea yesterday when we heard the news over the weekend that Bud Black is in talks to get an extension with the Rockies. And that's a whole conversation of its own that we had yesterday. But it's like, okay, We got these. We have three long-standing coaches in Colorado right now. In terms of like pro sports and head coaches, like Mike Malone is one of the longest tenured coaches in the NBA, with like Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich and Eric Spoelstra in Miami. You got Jared Bednar is definitely one of the longest tenured coaches in the NHL with just two or three others. You have Bud Black, who's been here for 8 years now. And we have newcomer Sean Payton going into year two. And I'm curious how we would rank these four coaches in the hierarchy, the current power ranking of Denver sports.
So that's a hard one, Zach. Now, are we going to, in their whole entire history, like just from because, you know, Bud Black, you know, Sean Payton has been everywhere. Like, are we putting that in, are we including that as well?
No.
Oh.
Because I don't, as a Denver sports fan,
yeah,
I don't care what you did in New Orleans.
Okay.
I don't care what Russ did in Seattle. I acknowledge it and respect it.
For sure.
But what have you done for your team here in Denver? So that's how I choose to look at it.
What have you done for me lately, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
So what do we think? Who's number one? Like, decided, because number one's got to be between two.
Yeah, that's
it. It's Michael Malone and Jared Bednar.
That's it.
So which one of those is number one? I'm curious. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
I already have one in my head, right? But they're so similar, Zach, with the one and two.
I know.
That's pretty much like, who do you like better? You know? I put Bednar number one.
You put him number one?
I did. And the reason for it is just because of what he has done from that team. And this is hard because Malone did the same thing, but what he has done for this team from the start to where we are now.
Yeah. Bednar's first year was 2016-17.
Yeah.
The Avs, they had a 48-point season. 48 points. Their win-loss record was 22 wins, 56 losses, 4 overtime losses. I mean, that they were the worst team in the league. And to your credit, and I'm giving you some giving your argument some
information.
Yeah, some more context. Like, the Nuggets were a bad basketball team, but they were never the worst.
Yeah.
The Avs were the worst. So, that's kind of your tiebreaker?
Yeah, that is, because when you go down the line, they look identical. Even how they're playing right now, they're identical.
I know. So many similarities.
Blueprint for success. Sean Payton needs to get on board with what's going on here with the Colorado Avs and the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, he does. I'm going Michael Malone number one.
Of course.
I'm going, well, why do you say of course?
Well, you're a basketball guy. You love you some Malone.
I'm a tell the truth guy.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And although I love the game of basketball more than any other sport in the world, I'm going with Malone because a couple reasons. One, the Avs have had some flameouts.
Ooh. Try to throw some shade.
Not shade, but if we're breaking ties, like I watched the Avs lose in the first round last year.
But you got to understand who he had. His boy Val decided to dip out on him. That's not his fault.
No, it's not. But McKinnon was still there. Cale Makar was still there.
Okay.
Mikko Rantanen was still there. And losing in the first round is a big deal. Now, they won the Stanley Cup, which is why he's in this conversation, what makes it a good conversation, because we do have two great coaches here, is what happened the year before that? Bounced in the second round. Year before that, bounced in the second round. Year before that, bounced in the second round. So the Nuggets, they've actually made it to a Western Conference final in a separate year from their title run.
Yeah.
And because of that postseason success, that was my tiebreaker. Is that, let me just call it for what it is. If the Avs didn't win that cup, and of course they did, so I'm not going to change history here, but if they didn't and they fell short, we'd be talking about someone else coaching the Avs. But they crossed the finish. And same thing with maybe Malone. Maybe it's the same case. But
it has to be, because Malone just now won his championship.
Yeah, but they were just in the Western Finals 2 years prior to that.
Yeah.
So because they have a separate successful postseason run in addition to a championship run, and this is all subjective, it's all opinion-based.
For sure.
I mean, this is what makes it a good argument, or a fun conversation, rather, is that we do have two great coaches with pelts on the wall, and banners that hang from Ball Arena. But that was my tiebreaker. What do you guys think behind the glass? What I'm curious where you guys, who you guys have in number one.
All right, I'll go first because now Phil's, you know, giving Zach a hard time because Zach's the basketball guy. I am the hockey guy of the for four sure. of us. And I actually still have to go with Mike Malone first as well. Ooh. Now, the two Western Conference Finals, or two Conference Final appearances for Malone kind of trumps it. Malone's got 367 wins in his career in Denver. Bednar's got 291. Now, the one where you can make a kind of an argument is Jared Bednar has six playoff appearances. Yeah. Michael Malone's only got five. Bednar's missed the playoffs once in his entire career.
That's incredible.
Michael Malone has missed the playoffs three times in his Denver career. Now, and you think back to where Jared Bednar started from with this organization. Remember, he took over the Avs in September when Patrick Waugh walked away. So it was like a last minute.
Good call.
Like, who are we going to bring in here?
Good call.
Type of thing.
They threw him into the fire.
Threw him in the fire. They said, all right, you're taking over in a really bad situation. Like Zach already said, they had the worst record, I think, of all time that year with the 48 points that year.
48 points.
Yeah. But I still got to go with Malone because that tiebreaker is the two Western Conference appearances, finals appearances. Over Jared Bednar's one.
KJ?
I am also going to go Coach Malone. I'm going to simplify it just like this. No one coming after Coach Malone will be required to do what Coach Malone was required to do, and that's bring a championship to the Denver Nuggets as the one and only first, like, championship ever
right.
in the history yeah. of the franchise.
Right.
No one will ever have to wear that pressure. There's going to be a lot of coaches that may have to rebuild or retool or whatever.
But like Bednar, like how Bednar had to be put in it?
I agree, and I understand that point. And I understand that was a super tough situation. But the Avs at least had championship cachet.
Right.
They just needed to find a way to tap back into it.
Right.
The Nuggets never had that before. So that's why I think it's Coach Malone.
I like that, and here's what I'll say for the cherry on top of Michael Malone, is that the NBA specifically
yeah.
has traditionally been set up for markets like Denver to not reach the mountaintop, where in the NHL, Avs are a hockey town. Yeah. You know what I mean? In the NHL, Avs are a blue blood. That's not the case with the Denver Nuggets. My question is, where does Sean Payton fit into this? I want to have that conversation coming up next. All right, we're just having a kind of a fun conversation. And make sure I worded this right. Okay. I just sent out a tweet. We're having a fun conversation about behind the scenes here at the Fan yesterday because Bud Black's name came up and he's in talks of an extension with the Rockies and he's been here for a long time now, Bud Black.
Yes.
In terms of like pro sports coaches, Michael Malone's been here for a really long time. Jared Bednar's been here for a long time. Sean Payton with the Broncos, not so long. We started talking, hey, who's the top dog in Denver sports from a coach's standpoint? Who's last? How does Sean Payton fit into this? And we're just kind of going back and forth between Malone and Bednar. Because it's got to be one of those guys.
Yeah, for sure. And it's probably going to be Malone. You guys have put up really, really great cases about Malone and why he should be number one. But Bednar's sitting there up under him, neck and neck. So, you know, I'm going to have to give in on that, y'all. You guys are right. Malone.
Oh!
Yeah, this is the first time.
We flipped you.
This is the first time. You know, I thought my buddy Drew was going to help me out, have my back.
I made the case for Bednar, and then I went with Malone, even though...
he did.
Like, I did make a strong case for Jared Bednar.
Well, I put it out there on Twitter. If you want to hit me up, at Byzline, Phil is at ICUBoy. If you want to hit us up on social media, and all the channels, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on YouTube, I'm on TikTok. All that stuff.
So Instagram.
Hit me up. Instagram, yep. Me and Phil there. So, but I'm curious, with Twitter specifically, let me know how you have your coaches ranked 1 through 4 and why you have your number one choice over another, because there is a real case for Jared Bednar. But that's what makes this town fun right now, is we have multiple championship-level coaches. But my question is, who's 3 and who's 4? Regardless of who you have at number 1 and number 2, who's 3 and who's 4
yeah.
and why?
You want me to go first?
I can go first.
I think I know what you're going to say.
You think I know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
What am I going
to
say?
I don't have to beat you to it. I think that Sean Payton's going number three. Here's why. Okay, Sean, he's...
You're speaking for yourself?
Yeah, I'm speaking for myself.
So you have Sean Payton number three.
I have Sean Payton number three. I'm thinking you're going to say Sean Payton number three as well. I may be wrong, but that's what...
Okay.
But I'm thinking.
All right.
For me, it has to be Sean Payton right now, and I know it may hurt people's ears, but he almost brought us to a playoff game the first year. Truly. He almost brought us into a playoff game the first year with someone like Russell Wilson, who he didn't think fit his system. Okay? They got beat. By, like, what, 50 points? They got 70 put up on them.
It's true, yeah.
Okay, Sean Payton didn't get rid of his staff, did not get rid of his players, right? He kept his staff together. He's kept his players together. We could have got more for Jerry Jeudy, which now, shout out, because my man's getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, shout out. Shout out, Jerry.
Jerry Jeudy!
Good for Jerry. God almighty.
I'm going to have to go put my mask on and go rob him now.
Dude, I cannot. And if you hadn't heard the news, the Browns extended Jerry Jeudy, gave him $41 million guaranteed, a contract worth up to $58 million. We got to circle back to that.
Yeah, we will.
We got to circle back to that.
It has its own segment.
Yes.
But that's why I have him at number three. He just got here. All right, so I understand, but Beck has been here forever. But Sean Payton has done some good things overall. He has done some good things. For the first year that he's been around.
Yeah. No, look, the Broncos this past year won more games in 2023 than they did in 2022, in 2021, in 2020, in 2019, in 2018, in 2017. That's a long time.
And his upside is going to be buried in Bud Black's as a manager. Right now, they have an F. They got graded an F for this year.
Yeah.
That's not all on Bud. That's not all on him. He's just the manager of it. We all know how baseball is, right? So baseball's not like football where you can just puzzle things together and be at the top right away.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I feel sorry for old Bud, but I don't because he's still getting extended.
Yeah. Look, you make a lot of sense. You make a lot of sense. Slow start, really slow start for Denver Broncos. But big picture-wise, man, you did see a difference with the Broncos. You know what the number one difference for me is? And this is, you know, not going to be talked about on SportsCenter or whatever. But the physicality of the football team changed under Sean Payton. And I remember Will Anderson from the Houston Texans. The Broncos played Houston this year. And he said the number one thing that DeMeco Ryans put up on the whiteboard, this team is the most physical team in the league right now. And he said if you do not match their physicality, they will beat you. Broncos hadn't played a physical brand of football like that, despite football being like the most physical sport out there. And that changed. And I think that's a credit to Sean. But let me put the shoe on the other foot.
Uh-oh.
Did the Broncos finish it with a losing record?
They did.
Did the Broncos go to the playoffs?
They did not.
Have we seen Bud Black have winning seasons in Denver?
We have.
Have we seen Bud Black take the Rockies to the playoffs?
Yes, we have.
Have we seen him take another playoffs more than once?
Yes, we have.
Now, is that going to be my actual answer?
With that being said.
Man, I'll say this.
You're something else, man. Hyping up Bud Black just to tear him back down.
Well, I'm trying to play devil's advocate and tell his side of the story, too. I think in baseball, the impact of a manager is the least impactful you can be in the four major pro sports. And football, you have the biggest impact because it's a traffic cop sport.
Yeah.
They start and they have a play for 4 seconds, and then they talk about it for another 40. What's going to be our next play? And they're redesigning the game as they go. So the impact that a football coach can have is just greater. And I believe, I'm winding up to my answer, that Sean Payton in the long haul will have more of an impact.
He should.
But that's forecasting and giving him the benefit of the doubt. If I'm drawing from history, he only has 1 year. So I'm going Bud Black number three, Sean Payton number four. I do believe in the next couple of years, this will be flipped. This will be flipped, and I think Sean Payton has a chance to certainly, maybe even as soon as this year, jump Bud. But in the 1 year in Denver, although it became competent, losing record, missed the playoffs, got himself in trouble on and off the field, game day decisions that were maddening, three or four of them through the season, that I think actually cost Denver a game or two. So I'll go with Bud by a nose. I don't feel comfortable about it, if I'm just being honest.
And then I want Drew and them to give their opinion, which I think they're going to be wrong too.
Okay.
What if Sean Payton brings us a Super Bowl? What if Sean Payton brings us a Super Bowl?
Ooh.
Right? Let's just say next year. I know it's not going to happen. This is radio, baby.
Yeah.
We can say anything we want.
Yeah.
If he brings us a Super Bowl and wins it.
He's jumping everyone.
Does he jump? Oh.
He's jumping
everyone.
Jump
even Malone? Who's going to win his next championship this year?
This is the worst era of Denver Broncos football we've ever lived through.
Okay.
If he brings this thing from the muck and the mire, absorbing the biggest dead cap in history of the league,
yeah,
and goes on and wins the Super Bowl, it's the NFL. NFL is king. If you sit on the king's throne with that crown, that is all due respect to everyone else.
Yeah.
Super Bowl is the biggest game in American sports. If the Broncos are back on top,
I
think he overtakes everyone. And that's with all due respect to these other legendary coaches that we have in town.
I like it. I like it.
All right. Hey, real quick, I know we got to go. Who's three and who's four for you guys?
I'll make this real easy. Sean Payton has maybe one of the better ownership groups in football. Bud Black has to deal with the most inept ownership in all of sports.
Yeah.
And he made the playoffs twice in spite of that. It's easy. It's Bud Black, number three.
Okay. I like it. KJ?
I am going to also say Bud Black is number three just because there's no one who has to smile and lie as hard as Bud Black. And then number four, Sean Payton. There's no one who tells you that there's nothing more to talk about more than Sean Payton. So that alone is why those guys are sitting where they're sitting.
Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. How do you have your one through four? And give us a quick explanation as to why I put this question out on my Twitter. And we will read some responses on the air when we circle back to this a little bit later in the show. But in the meantime, we have a big game tonight on the hardwood. And it's got nothing to do with March Madness. What does tonight mean for the reigning NBA champs? That's coming up next. Okay, really fun conversation with the ranking the coaches 1 through 4. You can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line if you want to get tagged into that conversation. We are going to be joined by Tad Boyle, head coach of the CU Buffaloes.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, and it's cool that they really, and shout out to the folks there, Troy Andre and the folks in the sports information department. They've been great with me, been kind of hounding them, to be totally honest with you. But it was such a priority for us to get Tad on, and you being who you are, you have a relationship with Tad. And so he's going to join us in 11 minutes from Dayton. So here we go. And CSU later tonight, which is it's just going to be such a blast, and can't wait to talk about that game here shortly. But there's another big game happening tonight on the hardwood, Phil.
There is.
And it's got nothing to do with the NCAA tournament. It is the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have the identical record of 47-21. They are tied for the 2 seed in the Western Conference with just a half game back of the number 1 seed. This is a rematch of last year's first round where 4 of the 5 games were decided by single digits. And this is going to be a rare, like, really impactful regular season game tonight in Minnesota.
It really is, Zach. This is going to feel like it's a playoff game because both of them are going to be in the playoffs. It does suck, though, that the Timberwolves are without one of their soldiers, one of their key players.
Yeah.
And you always want to be able to play versus the best, you know, because you want to see where you're at. Even though I still think that the Denver Nuggets are better than the Timberwolves, it would be great to see someone like Towns out there, you know. But I'm excited for this, man. Jokic, Jamal, they have to come to play today.
There's no question about it. And coming off a loss and the way that it happened against Dallas on national TV on Sunday, in a game where their competitive spirit just wasn't where it needed to be.
Yeah.
And the ultimate reflection of that is looking at the rebounding battle. I mean, they got absolutely mauled on the glass. And I am expecting a big-time correction tonight in that department, just competitive spirit. And it shouldn't take much, man. This is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're coming. They've been coming. And
did you see last night?
Holy moly. it, like Anthony Edwards is, you know, we had a conversation off the air like a week or two ago, and I said to you, if the whole league is on the sideline, think of like old recess when they used to pick teams.
Yep.
If they still
get picked last.
If they still even let kids do that anymore, I don't know.
You're right, right?
Someone's going to get their feelings
hurt.
Somebody
needs a trophy.
But if the NBA was that, and the whole league is on the sidelines, and you're starting a franchise, I don't know if there's five players that go ahead of Anthony Edwards. I really don't. Because his age and his blue chip talent is so real.
Man, that was put on display yesterday.
Holy smokes.
The athletic ability. And he's been dominant this whole entire season. But yesterday, you know, that posterizing, do you call that a dunk, Zach? Would
yes.
you consider that a dunk?
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%.
Okay. You know, some people, Drew, don't think that that's a dunk. I don't know if you consider that a dunk or not. I know that, I mean, if he wasn't having to jump over somebody's head, that it would, you know, it would be considered a dunk, man. That contact dunk.
That is a like, and I understand why someone would say, hey, it's not a dunk because you're not like rattling the rim and your fingers aren't gripped
yeah.
over the rim. But that's kind of semantics for me. If you're that high and you are flushing it down like that, we saw Blake Griffin do that to Timothy Mozgov years ago. I always looked at that as a dunk. So yeah, I mean, shoot, that is a poster's poster. That is like,
you see my man on the floor? He just had to put his head down. Like, damn.
Yeah, who's that, John Collins?
I was the one.
Who's a flyer himself?
Yeah, and he got concussed on that. He left the game with a concussion.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. And then Edwards hurt his finger, dislocated his finger, and now he's questionable tonight.
Yeah.
In addition to like Naz Reid and maybe even one other. It's Rudy. It's Rudy Gobert. So we'll see what their full complement of guys look like here in a few hours when it gets announced. We'll probably be on the air when we start to figure it out. But, I don't care who's playing. The number two seed and potentially the number one seed is on the line tonight. That mindset needs to be narrow and focused and ready for a fist fight.
Mm. Are you nervous, though, if they already have two players that may not be playing? We know one for sure is not playing because he's already out with the knee.
Yeah.
But with the finger and him being questionable, did the Denver Nuggets still come out with the same intensity as...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and this is why I like the loss to Dallas, where the competitive spirit wasn't where it needed to be. So I don't care who's playing. The mindset has got to be sharp.
Killer mindset.
Yep, and knowing what big picture is on the line tonight in Minnesota. We'll circle back to that a little bit later in the show and ultimately give our predictions. But what is going through the head of Tad Boyle, head men's basketball coach for the Colorado Buffaloes, a day before they tip off in the NCAA tournament? We'll check in with the head coach coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.